Shouldn't be laughing. Do you like my shoes? These are my Nigerian dancing shoes. Eh?
You never get my foot in that.
No, you wouldn't get your foot in that. But that's okay. Unless you're coming to Nigeria with me, you won't need them. So we're going to pray later, and I value your continued prayers. David's going to come and pray for me later. I'm heading off to Nigeria this week, so Philip provided me with some dancing shoes for the trip. So there you go. They're very comfortable, actually. A little bit flowery for my taste, Sue, but you know, you Nigerians are wild when it comes to your shoes, aren't you? We just thank God for the sacrifice. Whatever animal gave up its life for those shoes, the Lord bless it. Good to see you, everyone. You can start the stream now, Sophie, with the sound on, obviously. So first thing to say, you may have noticed if you're watching online at home that our stream is starting slightly later. So that first slide for me, please, Kyle. So we're changing the way we do the stream. So if you are watching at home at any point, the streams will start somewhere around 11 o'clock type time. We're going to concentrate on the teaching and various other elements rather than the worship and stuff at the start. So if you tune in at 10:30, you will be extremely early and see nothing on the stream at that point. So just to let you know, that's what's happening. We haven't forgotten. There hasn't been a partial rapture. You haven't been left behind. It's that we're starting a little bit later with the stream. For those of you who are watching online or are new with us today, there is a welcome pack that should be available. You should have got that on the way in. If you didn't, then Liz, would you throw up your hand for me? Liz has put these lovely packs together for us. She'll make sure that you get one if you haven't got one already. In that, as Amelia said earlier, there is a welcome card where if you want to keep in touch with us, you can have those details. Or you can do it online. So newlifecrawley.church/connect. And for those of you who are online, you can do that now as well. And we'll get that email and we'll follow up with you to do that. It's important to keep connected. And one of the things we're going to be doing is Michelle is going to be starting a very informal little group beginning on the 10th of October. Is that right, Michelle? Everybody probably knows Michelle, but in case you haven't heard her... Stand up, Michelle. Yeah. Michelle is one of the friendliest people that I know, and just loves people, loves being with people, loves connecting people, has an amazing ability to get people to open up their lives to her and share their story. Just incredible. It's a real gift. And one of the things she does right throughout the community is just connect with people. She collects waifs and strays along the way. And she wants to connect every waif and stray possible and those in the church as well. So she'll be starting a Just Be Connected group on Monday nights. So it's very simple. Tea, coffee, an opportunity to chat, and probably some crafts along the way. But those of you who are good at crafts will need to come because it's not Michelle's forte. But it's an opportunity just to connect. And this is really applicable for anyone. You don't have to have a faith. You don't have to be part of the church. One of the amazing things that I've heard repeatedly say when we've announced things for everyone, people have contacted me from outside of the church and said, I don't go to church. Can I come? Yes. It's a no-brainer, but don't take for granted that people know they're welcome. That's important. Don't take for granted, because if you're already inside, you know you belong. And one of the challenges of church is lots of churches say, oh, we're really friendly. And by that, what they mean is they're friendly to one another. We have to have a mindset that's reaching out to others, that's friendly to others, not just people you know and people you like, but actually welcoming others. And this is part of this, that we want to welcome everyone. Next slide, please. And part of that connection, again, is the small groups that are running as we continue this purpose-driven life. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then Kerry is running the Friday and the repeat on the Saturday. So we want to encourage you to be part of one of those groups if you possibly can. Next slide. If you really can't, then there are ways that you can connect with material. We're preaching through the series on a Sunday, and there is some videos that you can connect with as well. There's booklets for those of you who are new to faith or are searching. We can give you a little booklet on that. There's audio links to listen to the whole book of Purpose Driven Life. You know, when you're at the gym or you're out walking the dog, all of those things, there's audio links. See Michelle about that. And there's video links that'll help you follow through the discussion guides that we do every week. So really, we want to encourage you to get connected. We live in the 21st century. There's no reason for you not to be connected. Correct? There's no reason for you not to be connected. Correct? You've all got phones. You've all got tablets. You've all got stuff. And if you don't know how to work them, ask a toddler or a teenager. They'll show you how to get connected and do that. So please do that. So we want to talk about the encouragement that we do every week. And that's an encouragement that part of our worship is actually giving. And part of the reason for that is God wants us to be free in every area of our life. You know that, don't you? Not just spiritually, but He actually wants us to be free financially as well. One of the challenges with that is that we get caught up with things that aren't productive, that aren't helpful. But here's one of those verses that can easily offend people. There's some interesting things in Proverbs and some interesting descriptions in the Bible. And Solomon, the wisest man, said this: "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Now, if I was to call you sluggard outside of a church environment, I might get a punch in the nose. Huh? And that's just from Kyle. Because it's not a very complimentary term, is it? But God says, if you want to be free in your life, just go and look at how I've created nature. Go and look at the created order, and you will see some of the principles that I have put in there in order for you to live a life of freedom. He says, go and look at the ant. The ant is cooperative. The ant is wise. The ant is productive. The ant is not lazy, is it, in what it does? And sometimes with our finances and with our giving, if we're honest, we get a little bit lazy. How many of you actually have a budget and know what's in your bank account? How many of you stick to that budget? That's the next question, isn't it? But if we're going to be wise and if we're going to live in financial freedom and honor God with our resources, then we have to be wise. We can't be sluggards with our money. Because the whole purpose of our money is not that we accumulate more, because we give it all back in the end anyhow, don't we? We can't take it with us. There's no pockets in a shroud, as my mother used to say. You can't take it with you. So we can use our resources and steward our resources to help the work of the kingdom of God, to help places like Pakistan that we do, to help places like Nigeria, to help places like Sri Lanka, to help places like India, to help the places that we're connected with around the world. We need resources to do that. And as I've said before, the good news is we have all the resources we need. The bad news is it's in your pocket. So let's be wise in using our resources for the sake of the kingdom. David, why don't you come and pray for me? As you're doing that, just to say, I do have some... a one-page little sheet that some prayer items with some lovely pictures. We'll spot the white man on the pictures of a couple of the conferences we're doing, a few prayer items. So a few of these left. I've given some out already, and I'll also put it on Signal because I know some of you like to follow that way, and we'll have that electronically. So I'll do that later. Please pray for me as I travel. Thank you.
Okay, I would encourage you to pray every day for David. When you look at this, you think, oh, this sounds amazing. These big conferences. But actually, it would be so hard work for David. I noticed one of them is a Global Worship and Revival Festival. And I wouldn't be surprised if they start off and tell everyone there, oh, we have this great preacher from the UK, and there's going to be miracles and all kinds of things. And David will be sitting there thinking, help, help, yeah. help. And it's tiring going through that. But at the end of every meeting, there will be a whole line, queues of people who need to be prayed for. And I found that that is even more tiring than preaching. Because you want to pray for everyone. You want to hear what God's saying. So David needs our prayers. When you're out there on mission, you don't have much time to sit down and contemplate. It's boom, 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 boom. Everybody wants to speak to you during the breaks. So I want to encourage you every day, pray for him. And he'll feel that. He'll know that. Mm. So that's our part that we can play while he's away.
Yep.
So we're going to pray for you, David.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you have opened up for David to go, Lord, and to minister and to share in Nigeria. We thank you for the contacts that have been made there. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that, Lord, in this last day before he travels tomorrow, Lord, that you'll just continue to be with him. He'll just sense your presence, Lord. I pray you'll help him to do the last minute packing. But Father, we pray you'll give him a good journey out there. But Lord, when we pray that when he gets there, Lord, that you will really anoint him, Lord, not just for every meeting, but for every conversation he has, every meal he has, as he speaks to people, and how they will, you just fill him over and over again, Lord, so that he can be full of your wisdom, Lord, and of your teaching. Father, I pray for that. Lord, I pray for his health. Father, I pray you will protect him, Lord, from all the illnesses, the sicknesses, and Lord, the weariness that can come when you're on the go all the time. We pray he'll know that. Father, I pray, Lord, every night he'll have a good night's sleep and awake refreshed in the morning. We pray for that, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you say in your word, you give to your beloved sleep. And I pray that you'll give him sleep every night so he can be ready to face the day. So we pray for him. Lord, we pray that as he goes out, that he will be an incredible blessing to all the people that he meets, all the people he speaks, all the people he prays for. We pray for that. Lord, we look to you. Lord, we say that you are able to be, you give us your strength in our weakness. Lord, and I pray that David will know your strength, the strength and the power of the Spirit in him, Lord, as he ministers. So we pray you'll take him, you'll protect him when he's there, give him good journey, safe journey. And Father, we pray you'll bring him back to us safely. Lord, and pray for Bev as well as she, Lord, is without him for these couple of weeks. Father, I pray you'll watch over her, you'll protect her, Lord, and that you'll she'll get good contact with David while he's out there. So we just thank you for this opportunity. Father, and we pray that you'll help us to pray for him every day as he goes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. And we're going to pray for a couple of others this morning as well. We know for some of you it's anniversaries of loss, and that can be difficult times and seasons. Brian lost his brother, Jeff, this week, only 65 years old. So we give our condolences to Brian and his family. And we know that Cindy's moving away to Margate, where Cindy, I saw her earlier. She said, Cindy, God bless you in your travels. It's a loss to us, but someone's gain. So get connected to church out there. I will check. Get connected to church. Get serving God. Get dedicated and devoted in that. So let's bring these needs and others before God. You will have your own. I know some of you are struggling with health issues. Bring those to God. We can do that. Father, we thank you that you are a good God, and you tell us to bring our daily bread to you, all our needs. And we pray for the inbreaking of your kingdom into these needs. We pray for Justin and his family. Lord, you know that's going on. We pray for Cindy as she moves away. That would be a smooth transition. We pray for those remembering anniversaries of loss. We pray for Brian and his family and all those circumstances. We pray that they would know the comfort and direction and guidance of you, Holy Spirit, the one who is called our comforter, the one who's called our counselor, the one who's called our advocate, the one who is called alongside to help us. Would you be close to us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And part of church is not just welcoming God and worshiping God, but it's welcoming one another, isn't it? The Bible says we belong to one another. You belong to me, I belong to you. So let's take a moment to welcome one another and just speak a blessing. Say a quick prayer if you need to in someone's life. And just give some hospitality and welcome, and then we'll come back. Carrie will whip you into shape as she introduces the activity packs, and we look at God's word together. Thank you.
You're right. It's round his neck. Do you feel hot? Yeah? No, I think he's all right. Just a bit warm. He's smiling. You all right? What did you come and sit? No, go and put that back under your chair, you cheeky beaky. Stick it under your chair. Right, you two, you behave yourself. When I'm at the front, if you're laughing, I'm going to call you out and I'm going to say you need to stop messing around.
Every time I try to stay, stop feeling and all those lonely roads that I travel.
Is it?
When the life I've been paying crashes through me.
There's late and buzzard as well, isn't there? That's so interesting. Of course, there you go.
Right. I couldn't see it being, but I
can
see
it.
Okay, yep, you want to go for activity packs?
Okay, if you'd like to take your seats.
Should have, I've got my Nigerian shoes on. Should I preach African today? I usually take one of those away with me, actually. Yeah.
Okay, this
go on, Nigeria.
Is especially for the children
to
be
Nigerian.
Listening. So if you can just be ready to listen and to look. So today we are going to be talking about worship. And worship, as you listen to David, he will mention different ways that we worship and what worship is and what worship isn't. So in your packs today, you've got some pipe cleaners. And with those pipe cleaners, I want you to make for me three different things, or you can join the pipe cleaners together that represent worship. So me and Marilyn have just made this person down on their knees. That's going to tie in with one of the stories that we're going to do later. So with the pipe cleaners, make something that you think represents worship, but then I want to see it at the end. So don't just make something that's nothing to do with it. You've also got a plate, and I know some of you are obsessed with split pins, so you've got some split pins as well. And on here, it looks like a clock. What I want you to do is to decorate the whole plate with things that you do during your day. So things that you do during your day, because everything that you do during your day, you can use that as a form of worship to God. And so your clock is going to be a worship clock showing how you worship God. And then we've got the usual word search and crosswords and colouring on there as well. Okay, so make sure you're listening. And then after the service, you can tell us all about what worship is.
Kerry will be joining us later, so you'll need to pay attention, because I think she will check. Ever the school teacher, huh? Let's pray, and then we're going to look at God's word. Father, we pray as we turn to your word that you would help us, give us insight and understanding, anoint our ears to hear what it is you want to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Last Monday, we joined with many tens of thousands of others in Hyde Park last week. I think I have a picture of that. When we went and watched the Queen's funeral. And I'm sure, like me, you found it very moving. Right from the start, she had ordered the service that Scripture was paramount, that the Word of God was there. And I just found it really very good, very clear. You could see her Christian conviction come out. And right from the start, even as I was surrounded by people who didn't quite understand everything that was going on, didn't quite understand some of the language of the ancient text, but I found myself very moved by the whole thing. And as I was surrounded by thousands of people, yes, I was moved in the moment, but actually I just began to think about heaven, and I began to think about the worship of heaven and the picture that the Bible presents to us. So if you have your Bible, this is an easy one to find. If you have your app, you can scroll to the end. It's Revelation chapter 4, and we're not going to read all of it. But this gives a picture of worship in heaven. And it talks about the living creatures and the living beings. Day after day, night after night, verse 8, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. The one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." And whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." And we sang that this morning already, and Benny has referred to that. And as we look at this idea of worship, I really want us to elevate our thinking, to elevate our perspective, and just recapture some of the beauty and the majesty and the glory. Because someone has said, Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them. And sometimes I think that's true, because sometimes we can kind of go through the motions of the worship. And I think worship is one of the most misunderstood terms in the Bible. I think it's one of the most misunderstood things that we can engage in for something we engage in. So I think we need to come back to some of the biblical categories, and we'll do that. But here's some misunderstandings that I think happens. We have dumbed down worship to just be singing. But worship is so much more than singing. Worship, when we gather, is every part of our service. It's the welcome from the start. It's the reading of the word. It's the stuff that we sing. It's the way that we greet one another. It's the hospitality that we receive at the end. Everything is part of that worship. Everything that we can do in life can be part of our worship. Worship is meant to be part of our life and bring glory to His name. What about Christian music? I've heard people say and talk about, oh, I don't like that. That's not very Christian. Well, there is no such thing as Christian music. It's the lyrics that make it sacred. It's the lyrics. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, I love the old hymns. Do you know, they weren't always old. You do realize that. They weren't always old. So some of the great hymns that people now sing, William Booth took the marching tunes of the everyday theater the people were going to and set Christian lyrics to them and sang them because people were used to the tunes and they sang them. And the hymns, a lot of them came out of the culture of the day. Now, personally, I have to say, I don't like rap music. It doesn't do anything for me. But there are Christian artists who use that style to preach the gospel. Who use that style. So it's not about the style. It's not about the music. We often have our own preference, don't we? And we think, well, that must be what God likes. Because we like that particular style. I don't like the worship, or I do like the worship. But the truth is, there is no best style of worship. What does God like? He loves all the variety. Because He's made us all different, hasn't He? He's made all the styles different. We were talking earlier with Harold, and one of the churches we pastored, we sometimes led a Nigerian church, used the building because they didn't have their own. And it was my drum kit that was there. And so I stayed behind and made sure they were settled and made sure they were okay. And one of the Christmas services that they did, everything was turned up to full volume. The starters, yes. That's Nigerian. You need your earplugs. And that guy whacked that drum kit and played a rhythm that there's no way I could play. I'm sitting thinking, how is he playing that rhythm? You see, we're all different. Even in a small church, we come from all different cultures, all different styles. Does God prefer Nigerian worship? The answer is no, by the way, just in case you're thinking. Does He prefer Irish music with the feet tapping? And, hey, thank you, Margaret. Thank you. It must be. I put the Nigerian shoes on for you, so I'm going to preach Nigerian today. Does God like Irish music more? No. Does God like Anglican style of worship more? No. Does God like Pentecostal style of worship more? No. There's no such thing as a style that God prefers. He loves it all if it's done with a heart to bring Him pleasure, not ourselves. Fast, slow, loud, soft, old and new. He invented it all. The key is that it's done in spirit and truth. And we'll come on to that in a minute. So as you're reading your purpose-driven life books, you're probably thinking, well, what is this whole purpose of worship? You should be on that if you're following the readings by now. I want to just introduce a couple of things before Kerry comes. Number one, worship is linked to a lifestyle of service. Should be on the slide somewhere. Yep. Worship is linked to a lifestyle of service. Because so often we have limited, not just the singing, but we've limited worship to what we do when we gather together on a Sunday morning. But that's not actually what the Bible says. Do you know the word that's used in Romans 12? Latrein or something like that. It's Greek. You don't have to worry about it. But to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship, your true and proper latrein. 16 times it's translated as serve, only 3 times as worship. Do you know what? That tells me something. That tells me that the priority is not simply what we sing with our mouths on a Sunday morning, but actually what we do the rest of the week that actually counts. That's why, as Kerry said, everything we do, we can bring to God. Everything can be an act of worship. The word that's used literally means to serve for hire, to minister to others, and yes, to give religious service or to worship and offer gifts to God. It's not just about what happens in a Sunday morning. God is interested in your service and your service the rest of the week. There's a great quote from A.W. Tozer. Some of you will know him. I wonder if there was ever a time when true spiritual worship was at a lower ebb. To great sections of the church, the art of worship has been lost entirely, and in its place has come that strange and foreign thing called the program. This word has been borrowed from the stage and applied with sad wisdom to the public service, which now passes for worship among us. You know, we don't come for a program. We come with hearts that should be open to worship God. We come with that attitude ready to give to God. And that's why we talk as a worship team. It doesn't matter what the set list is. It doesn't matter what we've planned. It doesn't matter what we've prepared for. If God wants to do something, guess what's going to happen? We'll do it. And everything else will go out the window. Because we're not here to run through a program or a set list or a song list. We're here to worship God. And when we encounter God, we're going to follow and flow. Worship isn't simply about singing, and it's certainly not about performance. It's certainly not about a program that we have to get through. It's about bringing pleasure to God. That's the first purpose of our life. So here's a question for you. What is it that touches the heart of God? Is it a form of religion that we just kind of work our way through, or a lifestyle that's passionate and committed to God? You know, there are some people who go to church and they can't wait for it to be over even before they've got there. And they're just running through and they're, okay, this comes next, so okay, we'll go with that. And they just say things rote, and there's no engagement of the heart, there's no encounter, there's no meaning, there's no spirit of truth behind it. Is that worship? I'm not sure God describes that as worship. Because worship is meant to be all of our life. It's meant to be our heart. It's meant to be out of a passion and a commitment to God. So when we gather on Sunday, this should be the overflow of our worship. This shouldn't be the culmination of it. This should be the overflow of what we're doing Monday to Saturday. What's God interested in? Is he interested in us just going through to get it over with? No. The Bible is very clear. Isaiah 29, if you have your Bible, it's the Old Testament, somewhere in the middle, just after the Psalms. God is very clear about worship and what he thinks of it and what he wants his people. This is what he says. This is what the Lord says. Verse 13 of Isaiah 29. And so the Lord says, these people say they're mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Because of this, I will once again astound these hypocrites with amazing wonders. The wisdom of this world, the wise, will pass away, and the intelligence of the intelligent will disappear. God says he's not interested in simply the form. He's not interested in simply us running through. He's interested in our hearts. He's interested in the engagement. And Hosea, he comes again and challenges the people. This is what he says in Hosea 6, verse 6. I think this is the Message translation. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Isn't that an incredible thing? God isn't interested in just ticking the boxes and say, well, that's done for another week. He's interested that we know him. That was always God's purpose. Not that we have a form of religion, like a little insurance certificate. Well, that'll get me to heaven. Woo, but that's it over for another week. He's interested in heart engagement. He's interested in us. Don't worry about it, Benny. He's interested in us having a relationship with him and knowing him. And that's what he said, I'm going to write my law on your heart. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh that is soft and open to him, that will respond to his voice. And again, in Scripture, he says a number of times in the New Testament, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's a temptation, isn't it? Even when we hear the truth, the temptation is that we harden our hearts. We need to be open to God. We need to know he wants that relationship with us. So how can we transform every activity into an act of worship when we do it for God's glory and for his praise? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. This is a verse for those of us who like our food. Huh? Whether you eat or even our eating and drinking can be done for the glory of God. If we bring it to him, if we honor him, if we recognize his goodness in this, if we recognize his provision in this. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's how we bring our everyday life. And I think the Message translation of Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 is brilliant. Take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Do you know you can do that? When you're making the dinner, Sue, you can place that as an offering, hopefully not a burnt offering, but you can place that as an offering before God. And if you've had any of Sue's dinners, they're usually hot offerings. She likes her spice. When you're doing the ironing, that can be an offering before God. Do you know that? I hate ironing, Keegan. With a passion, with a vengeance. Apparently, I'm a good cook. I don't mind hoovering, but I hate ironing with a passion. But Bev told me this week that she was ironing my stuff for Nigeria, and she's ironing my shirts. She's very good, isn't she? Yeah. And as she's ironing, she's praying for me. She's praying God's protection on me. She's praying God's power. She's praying God's provision. You see, every act, God's not just interested in what we sing. He's interested in every act. Our everyday walking around life can come before God as an offering. Everything that we do, God wants us to bring it to him and worship. Graham Kendrick, you'll know, is a British worship leader. He was very influential some time ago. And this is what he says. Worship has been misunderstood as something that arises from a feeling which comes upon you. But it's vital that we understand that it's rooted in a conscious act of the will to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people say, well, I don't feel like worshiping today, so I'm not going to do it. It's got nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with worship whatsoever. That's why Hebrews says, bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, because sometimes it's a sacrifice. But we should be bringing, whether we feel like it or not. Isn't that what says in the Old Testament? Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there's no crops in the field, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. It's not about our feelings. Feelings are useful for many things, but we don't have to take direction from them. You know that? They're like a dashboard on a car. That there's an indicator of something, but particularly in our spiritual life, we don't have to take direction, and we don't have to take direction from our feelings. Because many people say, I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not going to do it. We'd never get up on a Monday morning if that was the case. Don't rely on your feelings when it comes to worship. Secondly, worship is based on the practice of surrender. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2. Familiar passage, but I love this passage. I think it's probably my favorite in the New Testament. Let's pick up at verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to grasp, to hold on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him. God exalted him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's worth a decent amen.
Amen.
Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient. The Bible is clear that one day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee. We get the privilege to choose to do that now. We get the privilege to choose to surrender to him now. Just as Jesus humbled himself and surrendered to the will of God, even though it was costly. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says that he cried to God with loud cries and tears. So loud cries and tears are okay as part of your worship. And he said, God, if there's any other way than the way of the cross, please. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. So that's why we can bring everything to God and surrender. Not just the good bits. Not just the presentable bits. Not just the bits that we want other people to see. We can bring everything to God in humility and obedience as part of our worship, the glory of God. We get to be involved in the practice of surrender. So how do we do that? I think two things help us. We encounter God in truth.
John 4, verse 24.
John 4, verse 24 says that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amelia is going to give out and keep in what's happening. I'm not doing anything different, Kyle. We'll persevere for a minute. Give me a favor, just hand me the handheld just in case I switch to that. It's not on.
John 4,
verse 24.
It says, those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth.
You see, we can't worship any old God in any old way we want. Jesus gives us a focus that worship must be in spirit with all of our being, and it must be in truth. I'm going to switch to this just for now, man. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And part of that truth is knowing who we are in God and knowing who he is. So Keegan and Amelia are giving something out that we mentioned last week. Part of living in the freedom and the victory of Christ is that we understand who we are in Christ. And this is something I know some of you really need to get a hold of in your life. And one of the ways that we can do that is through music, actually. So as well as the bookmark that you have, and I encourage you teenagers to look at that as well. Stop scrolling in the social media to get your identity. Start flicking in the Bible. It'll do you a lot more good and it'll be a lot more healthy. But one of the ways that we can do that is through worship. So we're going to play, it's about 1:30. The Freedom of Christ people, where this bookmark is based on, they have an album called In Spirit and Truth. You can buy the whole album, but they have two songs in the album. It'll come up on the next slide. Just show the next slide for a moment. So the link will go on the PDF. is it the next slide? Just show the next slide for a moment, please, Kyle. Yep, there you go. So you can see what the album looks like. Each of the tracks, there's two tracks related to this bookmark. They're 99p per track. I'm afraid I don't know all the other outlets. I only know Apple Music, because I have a proper phone, Amelia. She didn't even get that one. We'll tell you later. No point insulting someone if they aren't listening at that point in time, huh? So we're going to play a video clip in a minute. But can I encourage you, it's basically using this in song. And one of the things about songs is they stick in our head, don't they? Even the ones we don't want to. Even the advertisements, and you find yourself singing some of those silly songs or silly tunes. Well, let's fill our minds and hearts with something that's good, with something that's right, that's something that builds us up. So we have a little video to let you hear a preview of this track. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. So you get the idea. So you know when you're singing in the shower and it sounds really good? My singing sounds great in the shower. It does.
Is that right?
It is. So you can sing along. There's even a gap there where you learn the words, as you learn the verses. Let's get some truth into this, folks, huh? And let's use our worship and our sung worship as part of that. The second thing that I think is helpful, not only do we need to encounter him in truth, we need to grow in trust in God's character. See, for many of us, this idea of surrender, the heart of worship being surrender, the issue that's below the surface is, can I trust God? Can I trust God with my life? Can I trust God to work things out for my good? Now, let me say this. God says that he works all things for our good for those who love God. He doesn't say that all things are good. And secondly, in Romans 8:29, he doesn't say that he's working all things to make you happy. Do you know what it says? He's working all things for your good. And the next verse, Romans 8:29, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. So God is working for your good, and your primary good in his life is that you become more like Christ. That's the good that God is determined to work in your life. The challenge is we have to trust him and surrender to him enough to allow him to do it. That's the challenge, isn't it? I want to encourage you to do that, and Kerry's going to come in a minute to do that. See, the truth is, everybody surrenders to something or someone. Everybody surrenders to someone or something. If not to God, you will surrender to the opinion and the expectations of others. If not to the opinion and expectations of others, you'll surrender to the pressure for money, to resentment, to fear, to pride, to lust, to your own ego. You will surrender to something in your life. Why not make the choice to surrender to God's purposes, to allow Him to shape you, to allow Him to work in your life to make you more like Christ? So the question I'm going to ask you before Kerry comes in a minute is, what have you surrendered to? What have you surrendered to in your life? And what are the consequences of that surrender? As we said earlier, you can bring everything to God. You can bring your past regrets. You can bring your present problems. You can bring your future ambitions. You can bring your fears, your dreams, your hopes, your weaknesses, your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups. You can bring it all to God. Surrender to Him and say, would you work for my good in these circumstances? Pray and ask God to help you. Worship is based in surrender. We're going to show a very short video clip, animation, and then Kerry's going to come and lead us in the next section. Thank you, Kyle.
Jesus visits Mary and Martha. This is Jesus.
Hey-o!
Who's the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, He healed many people from their sickness and did many miracles like walking on water.
Oh, hey guys.
Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem with His disciples, and they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home.
Hey, everyone.
While Jesus was there, Martha's sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to Him while He taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But Jesus said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her."
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that story. It's probably a story that you know really, really well. And I've got a confession to make now, and you can find me if you want, David. But this story has, every time I've heard it, it really annoys me. It really does. And every time I've talked about it, and we've done it a lot, with particularly with children's work, I've said the right things. I've said what I thought God was saying through it. But deep down, it really annoyed me. And I was really thinking when David and I were planning this morning, and I really felt God wanted me to talk about this story. It was like, really? Not again. Because I think two things really annoyed me about it. First of all, I feel really sorry for Martha, and I guess that's because I know which woman I would have been in the story. And secondly, I really didn't quite get what God was trying to say through it. And I knew that it was, everybody always says you have to calm down, you need to be quiet before God, you shouldn't be rushing around and working. But there's part of me that thinks if some people don't rush around and work, nothing's going to get done. And so I couldn't get the story. And I have to tell you, God's been so gracious to me this week because He has shown me this story in a completely new light. And I now see the end of the story completely differently to how I used to. Because I used to see Jesus as being really condemning of Martha. I now see Him looking at her with such compassion and such love that it's completely changed the story. So let's just see if we can examine the story and what it tells us, or what I think it tells us, about what worship is. So I've got my mixing bowl. I made some apple crumble yesterday. And I made some apple crumble, and I actually stewed my own apples. Well, they weren't mine, they were Laureen's apples. But I actually stewed apples, and I've never done that in my life before. So I think that deserves, thank you, Amelia. A round of applause. Crumble doesn't last in our house. So I've got my mixing bowl, and under some of your chairs there are some spoons. I want you to have a look, and if you've got a spoon under your chair, can you first of all take it out? And these spoons are going to help us learn what the story of Mary and Martha teaches us about worship. So if you have got a spoon and it's got a number one on it, can you bring it up to me, please? Thank you, darling. Well done. Harry's going to come up with me. I won't desert you. I made Harry come up and do the worship actions, and then I ran away and sat down, so I'm not going to do that today. So you've got a spoon here, and on the front it's got a certain word, and it's a really hard word to read, but I don't know if you can read it. Can we have the next slide, Carl? Is that all right? So it says apart. Well done, thank you. Do you want to go and sit down for me? Brilliant. I think sometimes we tell this story as sort of a good, you know those, you can sometimes get puppets and it's got a good face and a bad face on it. I think sometimes we've done that with this story, and I don't think that's what it's about at all. But I've got here the word apart. Because what really interested me was that it was actually Martha that invited Jesus in. It wasn't Mary. It was actually Martha that invited him in. And then once he was in, what did she do? She took herself away from him. I don't know why she did that. It could be that she actually felt she wasn't good enough to be there with him. But I find that really interesting that she invited him so far, and then it was almost, that's enough. I'm now going to busy myself and keep myself busy, because that means I don't actually have to be at your feet. That means I've let you get so close to me, but that's enough. I wonder how many times we actually do that. I wonder how many times we actually put our hand up and say, that's enough. I've invited you in, I've sung a worship song, I've put my hands up in the air, but actually you're getting a bit close to me now. That's enough. I found that really, really interesting in the story. And so my sympathy actually really is with Martha, because there are times when it's really threatening, because Jesus is getting right to those middle pages in our book. Because that's where the mess is. And I wonder if that's why Martha kept herself busy. It was an excuse. And I see it all the time. There's times in Reflect when people come in and I say, hi, how are you? And they go, yeah, all right. And they haven't got their hand up at me, but it's like, don't you come there. And sometimes you do have to go down deeper. So I think Martha deliberately kept herself apart. What did Mary do? She was right at his feet. She was there listening. She was there worshipping. She was hanging on his every word. She obviously felt comfortable being there. I wonder where we are today. I wonder if we're doing that to Jesus, or whether we've really shown him that we're at his feet worshipping him. Who's got number two? Fantastic. Don't look so scared of me. Excellent. So we've got a word here. Can you read what that says? Thank you. It says busy. Well done. You're going to sit yourself down. Give him a clap. Because as we've already said, Martha kept herself busy. I don't know whether when they went in, it doesn't tell us in the Bible, and these are the little details that I always come a little bit obsessed with. I don't know whether Martha actually asked Jesus whether he wanted to eat or what he wanted to eat. She thought she knew best. And so she busied herself doing what she thought Jesus wanted her to do. I wonder if we do that. I wonder if we actually get to the point where we think, yeah, this needs to be done, especially when we're in church. We see what we think needs to be done and we do it. Sometimes that's not what God wants us to do. And I think that's what Martha did. She knew best. She knew that she could cook. She wanted to impress him with her cooking. So she got herself. Whereas Mary listened to what Jesus actually wanted to say to her. That's quite a challenge as well, isn't it? So I'm going to put that back in my mixing bowl as well. Who's got number three? Bring it up for me. Fantastic. Nice loud voice. What did it say in the front?
Conforming.
Brilliant. Do you know what that means? No? You go and sit down and listen and I'll tell you. Conforming, because, again, I wonder whether Martha was so stuck in the rules of those days that actually she did what was expected of her. If somebody comes round to your house, particularly in those days, what's expected? You cook them a meal. And definitely Mary did the opposite. She actually had, she abandoned all the society's rules. Because in those days, actually, Mary shouldn't have been at the feet of the men. Mary shouldn't have been listening to Jesus. But she didn't care. Because she wanted to worship Jesus. She wanted to really bow down before him. Whereas I think maybe Martha was a bit more conforming. No, that isn't what I'm allowed to do. Again, how many times are we stuck when we're worshipping by what's allowed and what isn't? How many times are we stuck by what other people do, whereas what we actually want to do is totally different? Worship isn't conforming. Worship, nobody can tell you how to worship apart from Jesus. And that's what true worship is. Let's not get stuck in what's always happened, or what everybody else is doing, or what I think Jesus should be doing through me. Worship is truly finding yourself at the feet of Jesus and really worshipping him in your own way. I think the biggest example of worship to Jesus in the Bible was a lady who everyone else was criticising, everyone else was judging, and she completely abandoned got perfume and washed Jesus' feet. I wonder if we're brave enough to abandon everything that society tells us we should do to truly worship him with our whole heart. And then number four, who's got number four? Thank you very much. Can you see it's quite a long word? Can you read what it says? It's really tiny, isn't it? Well done. Good reading. Excellent. Resentment. Because actually the end of the story shows us that Martha got to the point where she resented. She resented what Mary was doing. That's a really hard lesson. Because if we're not really doing what God has put us on this earth to do, if we're not worshipping him in the way he wants us individually to worship him, we can start looking at everybody else. And we can start saying, why are they doing it that way? Why are they getting... why are they doing this when I have to do this? And that soon leads to resentment. Whereas if we are comfortable, if we are listening to God, if we are truly worshipping in the way that he wants us, and it's a very individual way of worshipping, we don't care what everybody else around us is doing. And we won't have that resentment. And we'll get what Mary obviously had in the story, true fulfillment of actually worshipping Jesus in the way that we want to worship. And so I think the story of Mary and Martha actually is an amazing story. And again, we don't know how it ends. Wouldn't you love to see some of the ends of these stories? But what in my head, how it ends, is Jesus looks at Martha with complete compassion and complete love and just says to her, just be with me. I just want to be with you. You're enough. I don't want your food at the moment. I don't want your house tidy. I just want you. And that, to me, is what true worship is. And I wonder what Jesus is telling us today about what we need to stop doing or start doing in order to truly worship him with our hearts. Not what everybody else is doing, but what does he want us to do to worship him? I know that I've been a bit obsessed with verbs and nouns recently. But I'm going to give you a radical statement today, because I don't think worship is a noun. Those of you that have been taught by me hopefully know what a noun is, because a noun is a thing. Worship is not a noun. It's not a song. It's not a prayer. It's not a building. It's not even coming to church. But I also don't think it's a verb. Worship isn't singing. Worship isn't praying. Worship isn't dancing. It's a state of being, because worship, as David said, is being fully surrendered. And we can do all those things through a song, through singing, through dancing, through praying. But actual true worship is where we are with God. And if we're not fully surrendered, if we're not fully focused on him, that's not full worship to him. And so that's what I think the story of Mary and Martha tells us. And I really hope that it ends with Jesus saying to Mary and Martha, both of you come and sit at my feet. Let's have some time together. And then we'll stick some soup in the microwave and eat together. So that's what I hope, and the story ends. I wonder what God said to you about worship today, and I wonder where you need to take it.
So we're going to... Thank you, Kerry. So we're going to close the stream now, so thank you for joining us. And for those of us who are gathered here, we're going to sing a final song together before we have some